Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the Badgers to UW Oshkosh, the playoff picture in Wisconsin remains bright. Alongside the professor Dan Underberg and our producer, the Polish pipe bomb Jeff Orlowski, I'm Don Wachulis. This is the College Football Show, and it starts right now. Once again, welcome back into the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, as we are in the midst of, well, I guess, what we might call Daniel Championship Week. Two undefeated teams here in the state of Wisconsin. You've got the Badgers, who have finally cracked into the top four in the college football poll. And then later on in this show, we'll talk to the head coach at the University of Oshkosh, whose team is undefeated and advancing week by week within the NCAA Division III playoffs, as they'll take on Wartburg in a quarterfinal matchup in Oshkosh this weekend. But for football in this state, in everything that we talk about the entire year, to have a D3 team undefeated and still going, to have your Division I team now crack the top four finally, this is a fun time to be a collegiate football fan in this state.
Yeah, when's the last time you've had two teams like this be undefeated? I have no idea when this has happened before, and it's fun. And in the kind of excitement of the Wisconsin game coming up, we tend to overlook Oshkosh. And Oshkosh, in terms of the last 2 years, D3, they've been as powerful as any team out there. They're an incredible ball club right now.
Last year's national runner-up, and hopefully will find their way back to the NCAA Division III championship, and maybe this year come away with the trophy. And we'll talk, as we noted, to head coach Pat Cerrone around 8:35, 8:40 here this evening. But first, let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that's the Wisconsin Badgers, who finally have made it into the top four, who have steadily and slowly progressed since the college football poll has been announced a few weeks back, and making their way up the table. And Jeffrey, to sit at 12-0, and I'll start with you and then Dan throw it back. It looks as if the committee said to the Badgers, all right, you've stayed undefeated. Now I'll put you at number four. It's where you wanted to be. Win Saturday and you're in, and we won't hear any complaints. Because I have a feeling if they were put at five or six and they still won, I don't know how things would play out necessarily as far as them advancing into that top four. And obviously, and we'll talk about it as the show progresses, a lot of big games coming up on Saturday. But the fact that they put them in at number four, it's like, all right, you've been telling us all year long, this is what you deserve. We'll put you there. Now win Saturday, and you've written your ticket for a New Year's Day game.
Yeah, it's definitely win and you're in now for the Badgers. I think all the conspiracy theories, all the worst-case scenarios are now all thrown out the window. So everything is right in front of them. All they have to do is beat the stupid Buckeyes, and they're in the playoffs.
Stupid Buckeyes.
Thank you for the correction. Yes, absolutely. You know, it still kind of irks me that there's a two-loss team ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of diminishes the regular season and the every game's a playoff game atmosphere, which is what I love so much about college football.
Daniel, when you listen to some of the national pundits talk about not only what the college football poll rankings are at this point, but noting what the matchups are coming up on, well, Friday night with the Pac-12, tomorrow night, and then all day on Saturday, I consistently hear those that supposedly are in the know developing scenarios that even though Wisconsin's sitting at number four and could win on Saturday, that it always seems as if they're trying to find a way to get Alabama in there, Georgia in there. What happens if Auburn and you pull all these various scenarios out? And yet, as Jeff just alluded to, many of the conspiracy theories have kind of slowed down a little bit. But yet you still see these people trying to find ways to knock Wisconsin down to at least five, even if they win on Saturday.
Yeah, so let me jump into the conspiracy theory pool a little bit and just kind of think this one out. So Wisconsin plays Ohio State on Saturday night, and let's say it's an ugly game and Wisconsin wins 12-10, four field goals, okay? And then automatically you've got these issues of, well, are they the best team? Because all Wisconsin did was beat a three-loss team at that point. And a weaker Ohio State team, blah, blah, blah. On the other side of the spectrum, if Ohio State wins, then you hear about, hey, another two-loss team, look at what they did. They beat an undefeated team in the championship. So, there is that element out there, and it is frustrating. And to your point, Don, I'm watching last Sunday morning after Wisconsin's win and watching ESPN, and all they're talking about on ESPN and what will it take for Ohio State to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all. Wisconsin was an afterthought. There was no respect given. It was about, okay, this is how Ohio State can get in. Who cares?
Right.
Okay, you've got a team that's undefeated. Okay.
And I hope the Badgers, if you listen to Paul Chryst and you take him for his word, which I guess we really don't have any reason not to, because he seems to be a person who stands by what he says. He's got that team week by week, not worrying about what the outside world thinks or does. Stay focused, listen to what we're doing, follow the game plan, et cetera, and go on from there. The problem is right now what you alluded to, and that is this is going to be a game on Saturday, I think, that will come down to about six or seven plays. And what mistakes do you or don't you make that's going to cost you the game? See, I think defensively, finally, we match up against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think in years past, like we've seen against Penn State or Ohio State a couple of years ago in these Big Ten championship games, where we just noticed and it was visibly present that we couldn't match up speed-wise. I think we finally match up speed-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively, Ohio State doesn't frighten me whatsoever the way they would have a couple of years back. So for me, Saturday's game, and I guess I want to hear what you guys think, will come down to maybe seven plays. A fumble, a special teams play, a defensive stop, whatever the case may be, and who capitalizes on those, because I don't see either team running away with it.
I don't either. I think for me, on the Wisconsin side, we know what we're going to get, and we've seen them, you know, go through this process now. Wisconsin is going to be consistent. And what I mean by that is that, you know, let's say Ohio State scores first, right? This team is not going to freak out about it. They're not going to lose their minds about it. They're going to play their game. They're that kind of grounded type of team. You know that their defense is going to play well. You know that their defense is going to bail the offense out probably once or twice. And frankly, we know that the defense is probably going to get beat at least once long, which has happened in every game. We know these things. But what we also know about Wisconsin's defense is it doesn't matter. Okay, every week they have proven to overcome these things. And we have no right to expect it's going to be anything differently. Same thing on offense. We know what we're getting. You know, I really do believe that Jonathan Taylor is going to run for over 100 yards again. And I think he's going to start slow and he's going to gash them for one or two big runs in the second half, like he's done. And that's what you're saying. I'm with you. Six or seven plays. And, you know, I get it. Vegas is saying this and ESPN is saying the analytics prove this about Ohio State. I don't care. I'm with you. I think this team is equally matched to Ohio State. I think they can win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they can win as well. You know, as we sit right, you know, they're 6-point dogs. And, you know, I think it's going to be close, but obviously me picking Wisconsin to win, they automatically cover. You know, it was nice to see Hornibrook break the interception streak against Minnesota.
Yep.
Now the kid has a full week knowing that he didn't cough up the ball to, you know, further bring his confidence up and everything like that. You know, we go back to the same thing we've talked about all season. The Badgers need a full game. But like you, Dan, I don't think that panic sets in if they get down early. I think they stick with the run. I think the game plan is the same at 0-0. then it would be worst case scenario if they're down 14-0.
Yep.
The game plan is going to stay the same. They're going to stay and play Badger football, and I think it's going to work out really well for them.
All right, so let's go around the table real quick, and what would be the one thing that you are confident about going into Saturday, and what's the one area where you might have a question mark, which kind of frightens you? And I have to say this, and I told Jeff off the air I would, that I had to thank him. Because he calmed me down last week. I was so nervous about Minnesota. And obviously, after watching that game, I had nothing to be nervous about. I did exactly what he said. I watched it. Couch, beverage, life was good. That kind of a thing. But going into a Big Ten championship event like we're going to have on Saturday, the vibe, the feel, the neutral site, it's all different. So going into this, Dan, I'll start with you. What's the one thing that you're feeling confident rolling into this game? And what's the one thing, that question mark, that kind of hangs over where you just hope it doesn't fall apart?
I'm confident in defense. I don't think there's anything earth-shattering about that. I like the way this team is playing. And I'm not saying they're the fastest or the strongest, but that, man, they're just the most consistent, and they are where they're supposed to be. And they're confident in terms of where they're going to run. So I'm confident that, again, even if Ohio State hangs up 17 or whatever it is, that is not going to be overwhelming for Wisconsin's defense. I think they can handle it. What concerns me, and I say this with a bit of hesitancy, is that I'm really kind of expecting a great game from Hornibrook this weekend. I think he's got it in him to do it. He's played essentially two strong football games the last two games. And my concern is that not that he plays weak, but he plays kind of that inconsistency again. We don't have the opportunity, I think, this time around for 50% or 52%. I think he's got to be where he's been at the average, 66, 67%. If he does what he's supposed to do, and again, I'm not trying to slam him. It's just there's that one element that every year we've talked about it, or every week. One interception. We know it's coming. Didn't happen last week. Great. Let's keep that going.
Jeff?
Same. I'm confident in the defense. The thing that concerns me, turnovers, whether it's going to be Taylor putting a ball on a turf, Hornibrook with an interception, heaven forbid something happens on special teams. Mm-hmm. No turnovers. Badgers win. One turnover, it gets a lot closer. Two or more, hold on.
You know, for me, I'm like you guys, the defense, there's no reason whatsoever to feel nothing but confidence in the way that team, that side of the ball has played all season long. And I'm not really even that nervous anymore about the offense, because suddenly that idea of next man up in the receiving core, on the line, you name it. It happens on both sides of the ball, but now I'm just talking about offense. Suddenly, we've got big play capability.
Sure do.
We've got guys who have stepped in and have kind of stretched the field, which then has opened the running game. And I just feel like we can match up extremely well with this Buckeye squad. For me, the question mark is this intangible of, this is probably one of the biggest games in Badger history right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's those times back in the Alvarez era where we were trying to get back to the Rose Bowl, and we finally did, and that was pre-college football playoff and all of that, where the Rose Bowl still really meant that Big Ten, Pac-12 matchup. It was the granddaddy and all of those things. I'm hoping that these Badgers don't roll into Indianapolis tight, knowing the pressure that's on, the excitement that's there, and that intangible, that feeling of, oh my gosh, we have a chance to really make our mark on this program and put it into another level that it hasn't been before. My fear is that they're going to be tight, and if they're tight, the mistakes that you guys talked about that you're worried going into Saturday, those are the ones that I think then happen, because they're just, their nerves, they're not relaxed, they're tight, and those types of things can really snowball as the game goes.
Yeah, I wish this was an 11 o'clock start time. You know, I don't like it being almost at 7:30 at night. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock, you know, you're used to playing at that time, you play at that time every week, the schedule doesn't change. That would make me more comfortable, but that said, I think they're still going to be fine.
Dude, the thing, you know what? We've known all season, and so have they, it's going to come down to this game. This is no surprise. We've known that they've worked all season to get to this point. We've known that they're not going to get into the college football playoffs if they don't win this game. And so I think mentally they're just going to be prepared. And again, I'm going to go back to Chris and the culture that he's set there. I just don't see this team getting overwhelmed. They're just grounded. And not every team has been like that. I really appreciate that about the Badgers.
Well, as we've noted earlier, this is going to be a great Saturday for the state of Wisconsin, with Oshkosh playing at 12:05 and then the Badgers at night. Both teams undefeated, both teams making their way, in one case with Oshkosh, into the quarterfinals of the playoffs. For the Badgers, we're hoping that they can advance into that college football playoff scenario that will give them a New Year's Day bowl game. But when we come back after the break, want to spend just a couple of minutes and talk about the coaching carousel that has really been spinning basically almost out of control this past week, since the regular season of the college football schedule came to an end this past week, and we'll touch on it next. This is the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. You want to beef with the king, what is you going to do? When you show up on the scene, one or two guns drew on you and your friend and play a little 2-on-2. If you do happen what I do, you'll be hitting the deck. Once again, welcome back to the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM. As we noted, coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to the head coach at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. That's head coach Pat Cerrone. Oshkosh continues to advance within the NCAA Division III tournament, undefeated, just like our Badgers are up in Madison. But, fellas, the one thing that struck me this weekend was the number of coaching changes that will be taking place as this season will finally wrap to an end by the time we get to the college national championship. As of this weekend, if you take Brett Bielema, Mike Riley, Arizona State's Todd Graham, Kevin Sumlin from Texas A&M, Jim Mora from UCLA, and Butch Jones out of Tennessee, I think the collective buyout at this point stands at $60 million, with more coaches obviously on the hot seat. I've only mentioned essentially a handful. So the total buyout right now stands at $60 million, and obviously that's going to go higher. But the one we're going to start with, and we have to start with, is Brett Bielema. As head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, had not even had the chance to exit the field, and somebody in a suit and tie ran up and said, Coach, you're no longer the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Thank you for your time. Your check will be in the mail. Best wishes. Talk about a fall. It wasn't that long ago that Mr. Bielema left the Badgers in the midst of bowl season to go take on this Arkansas job within the SEC, quote-unquote, the premier league in college football, going to build the program up like the program was at Wisconsin, take them to new heights. And the only thing he's doing right now is looking for a home and a job, probably somewhere outside of the state of Arkansas.
Well, maybe he's looking for a home and a job. He's probably eating a cheeseburger and counting his buyout right now is what he's doing.
He needs to stay away from the cheeseburgers after watching that game the other day.
He'll just get a bigger windbreaker. The thing is, when he left to take Arkansas, and the whole thing again was, I have a better chance to win a national championship at Arkansas. The collective kind of look around this area was, really? It's Arkansas.
Right.
I get that it's the SEC. We understand that, but it's Arkansas, Brett. I mean, how is that any closer to a national championship than what you're building here at Wisconsin? It was just such a, in my mind, just such a ridiculously lateral move. And people look, well, it's from the Big Ten to the SEC. It's bigger. No, it wasn't. It was a stupid move, and you know a leopard can't hide its spots or whatever it is. Brett was Brett,
right?
And he did stupid things in Arkansas, and then that eventually caught up with him.
And Jeff, don't you feel like when Bielema left Wisconsin, it was the ego that got in the way, in and of the fact that around these parts, I mean, Barry Alvarez is still considered the godfather of college football for what he did for the program at Wisconsin. And I just don't think Brett Bielema's ego could handle that, and that's the reason, Dan, why he made the lateral move that you just alluded to.
Yeah, it was definitely ego and, you know, oh, I'm going to go to the SEC and I'm going to compete with Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to compete with Les Miles when he was still there. And, you know, no. And, you know, here's Wisconsin sitting at four. And the last time anybody heard of the Razorbacks was, oh, yeah, that's right, the day you got fired. So, you know, hashtag karma, fat boy. You know, it comes back to bite you.
Well, there's truth to what Jeff just said in and of the fact that the only way Arkansas really made news this football season was how Brett Bielema got fired.
Yeah.
That he was fired on the field before he could even make his way into the locker room to talk to his team about the loss they just incurred. That somebody, again, I wish there was footage somewhere of whoever it was in that suit chasing him down to tell him that you are no longer a coach. Coaches get fired all the time.
Right.
I think it's one of the things that when you are a coach going into whatever job you're going to take, there's going to be one of two things. They're going to build a statue for me or I'm going to be fired. And more times than not, they're going to fire you. But I can't remember a situation where a coach was run off of his job while on the field. Usually it's, come on in. Team's in the locker room. I need to meet with you. We go into an office. We talk for a minute, and then you can address the team. And they didn't even give the man a chance to run off the field, which I can't get over. It kills me.
But help me out, guys. Maybe I'm making this up in my brain, but wasn't there a coach, and I thought it was football, that was fired before he got on the plane?
Yeah.
Was that?
And then they didn't allow him on
the
flight.
They didn't allow him on the flight. So we're starting to build a Mount Rushmore of ways to get fired. We've got two of the heads on the mountain right now in terms of putting that together. And I, you know, other than being escorted off the flight, said, no, you need to find a different plane. I don't know what else there is, but yeah, this one is going to stick with him for a long, long time.
There's got to be footage somewhere.
Yes.
And if there's not, that just goes to show that he did nothing to build the Arkansas program. Because especially in the SEC, there's 8 million video cameras at every single game.
Yes.
You can't tell me one doesn't have that moment. And I so want to see that moment. Hopes and dreams crushed. Oh, it'd be great.
Listen, we touched on that one because of the Wisconsin connection. But before we head to a break, the one thing I want to talk about is the coaching vacancy at Tennessee. What has happened to the volunteers where it has been an absolute circus of them trying to hire the next head coach and then looking at the leadership that's in charge of doing it? When I see the leadership that's at Tennessee right now and what they're doing and how they've made a total debacle of this process, it's astounding to me that the president and the athletic director are still employed as we speak.
Yeah, you're right. This is a leadership issue that has not been corrected. And this isn't just the football program, guys. This is the athletic program at Tennessee.
Yeah.
A very proud SEC legacy program is now going the way of Ole Miss or Mississippi State or those routes. And it's unbelievable. And I think what's happening here is because of the vacuum in leadership, you've got more people, more leadership wannabe people that are in there trying to influence the decision, and now you're getting people who shouldn't even be there or people who should be hired but are being chased off. I think it's a really cancerous situation in Tennessee. It doesn't get fixed until you get now one of these Alvarez type strong leaders and said, no, I'm in charge and you're out of the room.
Well, and the biggest thing, Jeff, is that it seems in listening to some of the shows that cover the SEC that fan base was fixated on Gruden. And Gruden's not going there.
Right.
There is no reason why Gruden wants to give up that Monday night football gig that he's got amongst other things that he does for the four-letter network, because let's face it, he's paid handsomely and you don't have to deal with the boosters, the problems that players may have when you recruit them and all of the things that come with coaching. And it just seems as if that fan base was so fixated on Gruden, no matter who you bring in right now, they're not going to be happy. And it seems as if the athletic director and the president of the university are so fixated by what the public thinks that, Dan, it goes to what you said. somebody's got to go in there with an iron fist and just say, this is our guy, and this is what we're going to do.
Well, this is a perfect example of how important social media is and how big of a role it plays. You had, you know, the athletic department decides on Greg Schiano. Social media blows up. They paint, you know, that he covered up child stuff at Penn State on that rock on campus. You know, everybody loses their collective minds, and then they back off. And, oh, well, yeah, we're not going to hire him. It makes you look amateurish. It's a horrible, horrible look. They're not getting Gruden. The only one I think that could go in there now, you know, because they've gone like to three or four other people now.
Yeah.
T. Martin.
You took the words right out
of
my mouth.
You got to bring back the guy that won you your last national title and have him coach your team.
The blueprint for Tennessee is right here in Wisconsin with the Badgers. The Badgers, over the last few years in bringing in Paul Chris on the basketball side, you name it, we've brought in people that want to be in Madison, people that are passionate about the university, and they're passionate about the athletics that take place in Madison, and they want to be a part of it, and that's exactly it. I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff. It's about T. Martin. T. Martin wants to go back. T. Martin wants to regain some sort of stature that he had as a player at Tennessee and rebuild that legacy. You're not going to get that marquee coach anymore because of what the administration has done to the Volunteers. Mm-hmm. So grab a guy like T. Martin and give him a shot, because obviously everybody else that you're trying to attract has no interest whatsoever.
Well, this has got to be a person too, whether it's T. Martin or anybody else, they've got to be strong enough to deal with the fan base. And what I mean by that is, Tennessee has always had this complex, this little brother complex. We should be as good as Alabama. We should be as good as they were always getting their butt kicked by Florida for the longest time. And so they just couldn't get over that hump, whatever it is, but they felt like they should be. And they kept on looking for that one way to get over the top. And they're still there. We should be as good as. Well, maybe as an institution you should, but you're not. So whatever coach takes this job, okay, better be strong enough to be able to kind of lead people through this route of, okay, we'll get there, but this isn't a 2-year fix. This is a 4 to 5 year fix. We've got to get a whole new generation of players in there to do it and then build some momentum. And you're saying T. Martin, and I hear you. I get it. He wants to be there. It's the Paul Chris factor of, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to finish my career. I just say be careful. At this point, you've been turned down so many times. Now it actually offers you an opportunity to sit down and take an analytic approach and say, all right, who is the best guy that's out there? And do we have to stay in the Volunteer family? Okay. You know, Wisconsin had to go out to Notre Dame to fix the problem. You know, and maybe they need to look beyond the orange of Tennessee to find that problem or to find the solution.
Well, I'll say this as we wrap this segment up, and that is, if I'm Tennessee, again, I'm looking at Madison, I'm looking at the Badgers and how that program was established. And yeah, you might have to go outside, but when you go outside, that going somewhere else needs to start almost at the top. Whoever that athletic director comes in needs to be established. When Tennessee was good, the president and the athletic director were there forever. There was consistency within the leadership at that university. That consistency has been overturned year after year within the last 10 to 12 years at that university. And you look at Madison and you see what's happened recently with Barry Alvarez following a succession of strong leaders that have sustained and stayed the course. That's what Tennessee is lacking right now. Why are we talking about Tennessee?
I don't know.
It's Badger time. Listen, when we come back, we've got one more undefeated team here in the state, and their head coach will join us next. That's head coach Pat Cerrone of the Titans at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh as they get ready for their playoff game this Saturday, and we'll speak with him next. This is the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Victory, let the party begin. Victory, let's do it again. Once again, welcome back to the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Now we jump to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. to one of our favorites on this show. He's the head coach at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. It's head coach Pat Cerrone. Coach, how you doing?
Guys, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking some time. I know it is a busy time for you, and a busy time this time of year is good thing, because you have advanced to the quarterfinals of the NCAA Division III tournament. You had a great win last week against North Central, and before we get into that, we need to say congratulations, because it's been a while since we talked to you on the WEAC championship, and now we're making a run to get ourselves hopefully back for another NCAA bid. What was the difference for your team, for those that don't know? Last week you took care of North Central College out of Illinois. You beat them 42-21, but I think anybody who watched the game or who has talked about the game, it was that second quarter where your offense erupted for 28 points. What was the key behind the success there in that second quarter of play?
Yeah, I remember back in 2010, we played Mount Union, and they scored 28 points in the second quarter. I said, man, that team is really good. And, Saturday was just awesome. Our players just really responded. North Central is a really good football team. Really good football team. But, man, we sure were ready to play. Our offense is very powerful right now. They're doing a great job. So that was a win. I mean, we got to enjoy that. But, you know, now it's a whole nother week. I mean, we played pretty good. Offensively, second half we struggled. We definitely got on that 42-7 bandwagon, and I was pretty ticked off, to be quite honest with you, that we didn't finish that thing. And we talked about finishing, but, you know, kids are kids, man. They're 20, 21 years old, and tough to get them back at that point. But it was a big win for our program. You know, we kind of beat St. Thomas last year, St. John's. Kind of got the Minnesota Conference. This year it was the Illinois Conference. You know, we took care of John Carroll when we had to. But it's been a great run. You know, it can come to an end very easy. I just told the seniors today, you got two more guaranteed practices. So, you know, it's kind of, you live by the Saturday afternoons now.
Coach, how important is it to have the experience that you've had with this current roster, making that deep run last year, obviously, getting to the national championship and being last year's runner-up, but this group that you currently have on the roster, they've made that run before. That experience is there. How beneficial has that been for you in getting everyone now, whether they're seniors or freshmen, prepared week in and week out?
Yeah, it's been really a surprise for me. You know, defensively, we had 15 guys graduate out of 27. And when I asked the room at the beginning of the year how many guys played in the college game on defense, there were 53 guys in the room, and six stood up. So it was like, okay, this is going to be a long year. So I'm very surprised we went undefeated in the conference with as competitive as it was. But, you know, I think we're getting, to be honest, the better teachers. You know, we kind of, as a staff, have been together a long time, and there's a lot of value in that. And we recruited great players. You know, that's the other part of it. These kids can play. So offensively, I knew we were going to be a good football team, but, you know, I didn't think we'd be that good as we were last week for a half. And, you know, you just riding the wave, buddy.
you take it as long as you can ride that wave.
Yeah, you know, you don't think too much about it. I mean, I tell everybody, you know, when you're climbing, you know, that underdog feeling is so awesome, because, you know, who cares if you win or lose? You know, you just preach it and you go play. But now you're on top. How do you coach on top? And I can tell you honestly, I'm struggling with that a little bit. You know, I'm not afraid to say I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And, you know, it's just we're on top, and it's just different.
Well, Coach, with that, you are on the perfect show to express that, because there are many a times we feel the same way.
No idea.
I want to go back to last week, and you mentioned and alluded to it a little bit earlier, with the fact that you had an outstanding first half of play, and kids will be kids, and it's very difficult to keep the momentum going when you have such a sustained lead like you did have. what do you do differently when you reflect back about how you handled things in the third and fourth quarter to try and make sure something like that doesn't happen again? He's laughing at me.
I can't even say it on the show. You know, all I know how to do is yell. I just start yelling at everybody. But, you know, that, you know, everybody tells you to relax. But, you know, I can't. They're, you know, defensively especially, we're young. Offensively, I mean, we made some poor coaching decisions there. We've talked about it all week, actually. So we had a fourth and one that I didn't want the ball snapped, and we had a little miscommunication, and we ended up giving them the ball back again. We fumble. Our onside kick team doesn't recover. You know, I mean, it was just a series of things. But what it does is it makes you reflect a little bit, debrief, and I can tell you this, we're going to be prepared for all those situations now. So that's kind of what happens is you live and learn and get better.
Coach, tell for those who are listening this evening a little bit about your quarterback in Brett Casper. He's had an outstanding season, and he's having, at least to this point, an outstanding run within the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a four-year starter, lost two conference games in 4 years, two-time player of the year, saved a girl's life. What do you say? You know, I mean, he just came out his senior year, and he did exactly what you had hoped. He improved, and he's completely focused. And when that kid is focused, wow, it's just he's done a great job. Great job. And I'm very proud of him. You know, it doesn't really matter now. I think he's accomplished everything. I know he's hungry, though, so I can say that. I don't have to worry about him as far as what his goals are and what he wants to do. And every day he's in here watching film, and what a great guy. You know, I mean, he couldn't play like this his sophomore year. That was just, he couldn't do that. I mean, you're a sophomore.
Right.
And there's a lot of dominant seniors around here that, you know, like Joey Summers, who went, you know, tried for the NFL, and, you know, Zach Kazabuski, a lot of great players. So, you know, he was a quiet kid, but this year he's really become a huge leader, and he just does it every week. I mean, six rushing touchdowns first week, six passing touchdowns this week. You know, I mean, just crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, like we were saying, he's just having an outstanding season. This Saturday, you have a quarterfinal matchup against Wartburg. For those people, again, in the area that don't know or anything really about Wartburg, what can you tell us about what you're facing? And the benefit of this all, Dan, is they're playing once again at home. Mm-hmm. How nice is that, Coach, being at home for these first few games within the playoffs?
It's really nice, okay? Because everybody gets to sleep in their own bed. We ain't got to be on a bus. So, yeah, it's huge. And, you know, the Stout game, let's back up to the Stout game, because we had to win that game to get home field advantage. And I was really impressed with our team that day because Stout was a good football team. They had the number one defense in the conference. And we went in there on the road and played extremely well. So, to be honest with you guys, it's the first time that we've been in the playoffs, the four times that – the last game of the season, we played well. So we all knew as coaches what we were playing for. The players knew, you know, the home field advantage was the big thing. So it's huge. Wartburg's a champion, undefeated. They got a big team, meaning big corn-fed O-linemen, tight ends. They're tough. They got two great running backs, tough. They got a couple great receivers. And, you know, they just have a good football team. They've been a winner a long time. It's going to be a huge challenge for us. They took Whitewater to they almost lost, beat Whitewater 2 years ago in the third round. So they're hungry. They got a lot of seniors. So, yep, it's going to be a dogfight again. So hopefully we can figure it out.
Well, for anyone who is interested, because Saturday will be a big football Saturday, and no better way to kick it off than with a playoff game in Oshkosh. Oshkosh will take on Wartburg at home. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff, so by all means.
12:05.
Well, look at the NCAA website.
The NCAA. Don't look at the NCAA website.
There you go. Yeah, see, they don't get anything right.
Don't question the coach.
All playoff games are 12, and then this week is 12:05. So it's 12:05. You're good.
And that's why we go right to the source. All right. So let's reset the table.
Okay,
here.
Do it over.
It's a great football weekend, and why not start it with this Oshkosh-Wartburg playoff game, which will kick off at 12:05 in Oshkosh. And by all means, if you can't get up there to watch the game, you can always go to the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh Athletic site and click on the live tab, and you can watch it from whatever device you happen to be around and get yourself set for what will be a great playoff game within a great playoff atmosphere. Coach, as always, we can't thank you enough for joining us here on the College Football Show. Best wishes on Saturday, and with that, we get to hope that we have the ability to talk to you in a couple of weeks, and we're talking about, nah, I won't go there because I know Coach likes
Don't
to go. Yeah, he goes game by game. So we'll just say we want to talk to you in a couple of weeks. How's that?
Thank you, guys. And we play at noon, and the Badgers play at night. So even I get to watch the Badgers at night. So that'll be awesome. It'll be a great day for Wisconsin football.
There you go.
Agreed.
Thanks, Coach. Have a great
night.
Thank
you, Coach.
Thank you.
That's head coach Pat Cerrone for the University of Oshkosh Titans. As we noted, they got a 12:05 kickoff, as we were dutifully corrected, and rightfully so. The NCAA. Well, we always pick on the NCAA. They can't even get their website right.
Yeah,
anyhow.
Consider your sources.
That will be this Saturday. When we come back, it'll be time to shovel the funks, brought to you by Americana Apparel. And then we'll take a look at all of the conference matchups that are taking place on Saturday, because, Daniel, it will be key for next week's Final Four, that college football poll final ranking, to see who's in and who's not. And I have a feeling within all of those playoffs, an upset is on the horizon.
I sure hope you're right.
And we'll talk about all of that next. This is the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You know what? I want to shovel the funk. I want to shovel the funk. I want to shovel the funk. I feel like shoveling the funk. I got to shovel the funk. You want to shovel the funk? Do you want to shovel the funk? Then go ahead. Go on.
Once again, welcome back in to the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM. The Fan. Shovel the Funk is being brought to you by Americana Apparel. Whether you need t-shirts for an upcoming event or team jerseys and gear, Americana Apparel has you covered. Owner Jim Van Acker will provide you with unparalleled quality and service for all your custom silk screening and embroidery needs. Check them out at their website at AmericanaApparelLLC.com. That's AmericanaApparelLLC.com. Americana Apparel, the official outfitters for us here at the College Football Show. Well, gentlemen, championship week. It is time to shovel. Daniel, go.
Danny Davis. Danny Davis, wide receiver for the Wisconsin Badgers, has I don't want to even say that it led to a resurgence of the wide receiver core, but he is coming up. He's becoming that big play receiver, that spectacular big play receiver that every team needs in a really strong core of receivers. So this week, I got to give it to that guy, even though that was a complete team win last week.
Jeff?
Mine goes to Alabama head coach Nick Saban. 2 years ago, comes out and says you have to win. You should win your conference in order to qualify for the playoffs. This year, surprisingly, he comes out and says you don't have to. Pick a side, Jack Wagons.
It's always hard to come after Jeff when he gets on a roll. My shovel this week is going to go to the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh as they continue to roll through the Division III playoffs and hopefully will come away with another win to head to their own Final Four after this weekend. And once again, we want to thank head coach Pat Cerrone for joining us in the last segment. Gentlemen, with the teams that are in the Final Four that are playing this weekend, and all of those teams are playing in their various conference championship matchups, what one of those matchups do you see with a potential upset which could tip the apple cart, so to speak, with the college football poll in their top four? Dan?
It's so tough between Auburn, Georgia, and then Miami and Clemson. I'll say that if Clemson loses this game and has a two-loss issue to Miami, that opens the door for all the other one losses that are out there. I think I told you guys this earlier. I'd love to see Wisconsin win and the rest of these favorites lose. I just think that would be incredibly chaotic for everybody else that's out there. It'd be great drama.
Jeff?
It's tough. I don't think there's going to be one. The one that I sort of kind of like would be Georgia over Auburn, but every time Georgia's in a big game, they choke.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. They can never get it done. I have no faith in them again.
I think it will be Georgia this time.
Really?
Only because of what Auburn had to go through to get past Alabama. I think so much emphasis is put on the Iron Bowl in that state. That essentially for Alabama or Auburn is like a championship game. And when you exude as much energy and mental stamina as you need to take care of business within that particular game, I think coming into a game against Georgia, a very good Georgia team, it's going to be tough, I think, for Auburn to maintain that level of intensity that they had last week. The problem is, Jeff, you alluded to it, is that Georgia tends to lay an egg when they get to the big game, so I'm not quite sure. The one I really would love to see is Miami over Clemson for the same reasons, Dan, that you spoke of. I just, with Miami losing now their top receiver along with their tight end, I think some of their weapons have gone by the wayside, so I don't see necessarily that happening. But as far as things like we do in Sport Talk, to see Clemson go down to Miami and what it could do for that committee to go into that meeting room and figure out who the top four is, boy, that would just make life so interesting after this weekend of play. The music in the background tells us it's time to get up out of here. First of all, our thanks to head coach Pat Cerrone at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. Remember, they'll kick off Saturday at 12:05. If you can't make it to the game at Titan Stadium, make sure you go to the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh athletic page. Hit the live tab. You can watch the game from your computer or tablet. For the professor, Dan Underberg, our producer, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, I'm Don Wachilis. Thank you so much for listening this week, what we have called Championship Week here on the College Football Show. You have been listening to the College Football Show right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Enjoy Saturday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.